We welcome you to Worship with Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The uniqueness of the Christian faith is its proclamation that in Christ, God is our Father, and He wants to live in a personal relationship with His children forever. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, help us to understand what a heritage we have in the Christian faith, that no other religion in all the world places an emphasis on a God who really loves them. And yet you have loved us so much that you have come in the person of Jesus Christ to take our sins upon you and to nail them to the cross. God, in the midst of this Lenten season, give us the grace to search our hearts. Give us the grace to receive you anew as our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear that familiar passage from the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of our Lord.
I'd rather be led by his name, his hand.
Friends in Christ, the uniqueness of the Christian faith is its proclamation that in Christ, God is our Father, and He wants to live in a personal relationship with His children forever. No other religion has this emphasis. Stop and think of it, that while He is the Almighty God and is to be honored and worshiped and revered as the Almighty, He still says that we can call Him our Father, and that as we are able to come to earthly fathers and to make our requests known, so we are also able to come to our Heavenly Father and cast all of our cares upon Him. This is the Christian gospel. Listen again to those words that I just read to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice where the action is. It is God who is coming to us. The emphasis is always from God to us. In this day, as our world grows smaller and we become just a bit better acquainted with other religions, you will notice that here there is a real difference. In all other religions, it is the human being reaching up to God, seeking to appease His wrath as best we can, trying to win awards that will give us the right to a blessed eternity. But in the Christian faith, it is God who is coming to us. And so we say that it is an objective message. We are the recipients of God's blessings. First, He has created us. Stop and think of it. And as I've mentioned this to you so many times, I repeat it once more. Underline that verse in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us create man," meaning male and female, "in our image." In other words, we are the crowning work of His creation. He has given us a mind with which we can think, a will with which we can make a decision. He has created us to be the eternal children of God. We live on this earth a few years, but then eternity is before us. No other part of God's creation has been given that promise that they could live eternally with their Father in Christ Jesus. In spite of all of this, what did mankind do? He and she turned their back on God. Turn to that third chapter in Genesis, and now you read the story of the fall. How when the tempter came and said, "You can eat of anything in this garden, even the forbade fruit that God told you you could not eat from. You can eat of it, go ahead." enticing them to question God's word, trying to destroy their faith. And when they did that, when they went away from God and fell into sin, God does not leave them. Certainly it is true that God can have nothing to do with sin, so preparation had to be made to take away the sin that was found in the human heart. And this is what he does. He comes into this world in the fullness of time in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, at the cross of Calvary, took all the sins of the world upon him and died for them. He paid the price, as we say. He made full atonement. They're all taken care of. And it was certified when God raised Jesus from the grave. And that's the glorious Easter morning that we shall soon celebrate. Because of this, Jesus could say to Zacchaeus when he came to him in Bethany, "Zacchaeus, remember this, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Stop and think of it, friend. Do you know of any other religion that says that God comes seeking us? And that's what he does, and he is doing that very thing today. He is trying to say to you and to me, those of us who are believers, those of you who may not be a believer, that I love you and I want to redeem you, and I want to forgive you your sins so that you and I can live in that relationship together, both now and for all eternity. That so thrilled the heart of the Apostle Paul that when he writes his letter to the Roman congregation, he says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He's not dying for somebody who has had such a wonderful life as far as perfection is concerned. Rather, he is dying for sinners. For all of us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here then, you have that word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now notice, there is a subjective side of this too. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It would be faulty for us to say that because he has died for us, well, we're just sure that we're all going to go to heaven, and so we can live with him or without him, it doesn't matter. In other words, there are many people who feel that everyone is going to be saved. As much as God loves us, that is not true. Rather, you hear Jesus say that whoever believes in me should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So the church of necessity, if it's true to the word of God, has got to preach in such a manner that the individual will understand that there is a decision that has to be made. Now, there are some of those who are very much opposed to decision theology. Rightly understood that the decision that we make comes in faith, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to make the decision. Certainly the Bible teaches very clearly that with all of this laid before us, that God wants to redeem us and bring us back into a living personal relationship with him must be received, or it is of no value to that individual who does not receive it, that Christ has died for the sins of the world. There is no universalism in the Christian faith, if you're true to the word of God. So I suddenly become awakened. Or maybe it isn't sudden. Maybe it's just something that we grow into, that we have lived in a Christian home and he has nurtured that faith that began as a little child. And now we understand that Jesus Christ is ours. That's what we call a spiritual awakening. And that's what we need to have continually in our congregations. Or if we have walked away, then we have to be turned around, brought back to Christ, That's what we call a conversion. Without receiving Christ, there is no salvation. Notice he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to those who received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Now, this is the uniqueness of the Christian faith. All of this is offered to us, and all we have to do is reach out and receive it in faith. Now, I'd like to ask you, what have you done with this message? Or if you are a member of a Christian congregation, and I trust that many of you are, what has your congregation done with this message? Now, as some may say, nothing. And that is not true. There are others who perhaps would say, well, we've done something, but really not enough. I imagine we would all have to say that that is true. But stop and think what your congregation is doing with this gospel on a continual basis. Let's push the positive note, shall we, today? You have worship services, and I trust that they're worship services where Jesus Christ is lifted up as this God-man, the Savior of the world. You have your various organizations. Just the other day, I watched my wife studying her Bible, and I said, you're studying that very intently. She said, yes, I have to give the lesson at a circle meeting at our church, and it takes me a little longer now than it used to do. But she was anxious to go to those women, and next month it will be another woman who will be coming, and they'll be talking to one another about Jesus Christ and the Lord's Prayer, which they are studying this week. A marvelous, marvelous study it is. They're going to share that with one another. They're going to share, for example, that petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in their small group of probably a dozen or 15 women, they're going to be able to tell about the temptations that they have had and how God has been with them and helped them to walk away from the temptation. Or if they might have fallen, that there's a God who offers them forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's a unique heritage that we have, friend. That's what your congregation is doing. You need to be in a church. You need to be an active part of a congregation if you are physically able to do it. It is in the congregation that you hear the word and receive the sacrament. And there you are built up in the faith. And you're building one another up in the faith. Think of those times when it has been rather difficult. When some real sadness has come to your home, be it sickness, death, a disappointment in a child, or whatever else it may be, who was to come? I trust that the members of your congregation are so caring that in even bad times, they're right there to say, we just want you to know we're praying for you, we're thinking of you. And if there's anything else that you can do, then by all means, do it. Come to us. We want to help you. If we can do anything, here we stand ready. So your gospel that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ to your congregation is being disseminated. What else is happening? You know, sometimes we don't think anything is happening, and Satan is really happy about that because he can say, see, it doesn't amount to much for you, does it? Oh, yes, it does. Just stop and take a piece of paper and a pencil and sit down and write on your paper what God has encouraged and strengthened and directed your congregation to do. Recently, I had an opportunity to preach at a congregation where they were celebrating their 100th anniversary. And I mentioned that to them, that they ought to go home and just sit down and think about all the great things that God had done through them for others. I said, just in case you don't understand it, let me tell you, and I'm not that well acquainted with your congregation, of what you have done for me. When I arrived at college as a young 18-year-old, there was a son of this congregation who was in my class. We became great friends. We are brothers in Jesus Christ today. And real often we'll get together. And once in a while, if there's a real problem dealing with the faith, here's my friend who will call up, or I'll call him and say, can we get together and have lunch? That man was raised in that congregation, and there he was rooted in the faith, and he has carried that off into the world of education where he was a leader. But he has also had time to share it with a person like me when I needed it the most. I reminded them that there was a family in this family years ago who had children, and those children happened to come to the town where we live. They don't happen to belong to our church, but they have a great time together as a family. And they have a little girl. She's a sweetheart if there ever was one. She knows the Lord Jesus very well. And she's only 12 years old. She's a great friend of our granddaughter. And when that little girl comes with our granddaughter to the house, it is so evident that she has been raised in a Christian home. And that goes way back to that congregation who planted the faith in Grandma and Grandpa. And now our family in another city enjoys what that little girl can do for our grandchild. And we pray our grandchild can do for her. So it goes on. You see, it is easy for Satan to say, oh, nothing is really happening. That is not true. So we take a look at the past and we say, yes, God used us in spite of our weaknesses. Now what are we going to do in the future? More of the same, I pray, only that we will do it early. It may be that we'll have struggles in the future. It may be not that easy as we have moved into this post-Christian age to share God's word as freely as once we did. But remember this, people, that if we will but be faithful, God will give us the opportunity. All we have to do is plant the seed and leave the rest to Almighty God. It was St. Augustine who said, God loves each one of us as though there was only one of us. And that's the uniqueness of the Christian faith. Amen.
God is the Lieber, lass mich erlösen. God is the Lieber, liebt auch mich.
Drum sag ich noch einmal, God is the Lieber, God is the Lieber, liebt auch mich.
Ich lag in Banden der schnellen Sünder, ich lag in Banden und konnt nicht los. Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, liebt auch mich.
Er sandte Jesum den treuen Heiland, er sandte Jesum und macht mich los.
Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, liebt auch mich. For God so loved us, he sent the Savior. For God so loved us and loves me too. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. He bade me welcome, O word of mercy. He bade me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me.
Father, prepare our hearts again for the coming of the Easter season, that day when we shall come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Thank you, Christ, for living in our hearts, and thank you for telling us that above all else you have loved us so much that you want no one to go astray. Give to us a good week. Bless those who are homebound, sick, and shut in. We commit ourselves into your care. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's service has drawn you closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by you, our faithful listeners. Your financial support not only pays for radio airtime, but your gifts let us know which stations to continue. If you depend on this radio ministry and have never given a gift, please prayerfully consider it this week. If you know someone who has not yet met Jesus Christ, please share with them where and when you hear Christian Crusaders. A personal invitation to listen could change your friend's life. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.